Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. They gave a dinner for him there, and Martha served. Well, Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with Jesus. Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil made from genuine aromatic nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who would betray him, said, "Why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and held the money bag and used to steal the contributions. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The large crowd of the Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus too, because many of the Jews were turning away and believing in Jesus because of him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today, as we enter more deeply into Holy Week, we're able to focus on two anointings that frame both what God is doing this week and what type of response he's asking of us. In the first reading, we focus on God's anointing of his Son. Throughout these days, we will follow the four main beautiful suffering servant songs in the book of Isaiah. Today we get the first from Isaiah 42. Tomorrow the second from Isaiah 49. Wednesday morning we'll have Isaiah 50. And then on Friday during the Passion Service we'll have the most beautiful of them all, Isaiah 52-53. This points out what Jesus will be doing from God's plan from before the foundation of the world, what God had prophesied his Son would accomplish. And he was anointed precisely for this. "Here is my servant, my chosen," and the servant there is Son, a son who is obedient, Pais. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am well pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit." We know that Jesus would be covered by that spirit at his baptism. But God the Father had prepared Jesus precisely for this. He would be anointed with a purpose, to bring forth justice to the nations, to establish right relationship between us and God and us and each other. He would do this, as we're going to see this week, and as we heard yesterday in St. Matthew's account of the Passion, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street, not breaking bruised reeds, not quenching smoldering wicks, until he established justice. He wasn't going to do anything else. That was his main focus. And we see that in the way Jesus responds meekly and humbly throughout this week. Throughout this, he's not going to be dragged. He's going to be led. God the Father, who sent him for this purpose, is going to be with him the entire time. "I, the Lord, have called you," he says to this suffering servant, for this victory of justice is not going to be a loss. Jesus' whole vocation coming into this world was this mission. "I have grasped you by the hand," God the Father says to his servant whom he will uphold. "I formed you. I set you as a covenant of the people." He would become the new and eternal covenant. "A light for the nations," in fact, the light of the world. and He would open the eyes of the blind. He's going to help us to see things that we haven't seen, to bring prisoners out of confinement, all of that slavery to which we succumb through sin, and from the dungeon those who live in darkness. Self-imposed alienation. Jesus, our light and our salvation, who teaches us not to fear a thing, is, in reestablishing justice, going to lead us out on that exodus. That's what's happening this week from God's perspective. And so it's important for us, if we're going to live this week well, to recognize He's not going to cry out, so we need to be silent to hear His whisper. That He's not going to break bruised reeds. He's not going to crack us, but He wants to heal us. He's not going to quench the smoldering wicks, but instead He's going to want to fan whatever flames that are there. This is going to be His work this week as the Father leads Him by the hand. He wants us to grab onto that hand and to journey with Him, and to do so with all we've got. Today in the Gospel reading, we see the way we're called to respond to this work of God in sending His Son to reestablish our relationship with Him. We see it in Mary of Bethany. You have a dinner, some things never change. Martha is serving. And Mary, who really had a focus on Jesus' feet, the one who would sit and listen at His feet, came to anoint those feet that brought the gospel into the world. She did so with a liter of costly perfumed oil made from genuine aromatic spikenard that Judas immediately recognized was worth a full year's salary. 300 days wages is basically a full year, because you work 6 days a week and just took the Sabbath off. She was going to spend a whole year on Jesus. You can just calculate. We can ask the former attorney what her salary was. We can calculate how valuable that was. Last night, in preparation, I actually went on to Amazon to see what a liter of genuine aromatic spikenard would cost. You can't even buy liters, because that's beyond what Amazon would sell. But you can get a 5 mil bottle of this for $43.50. So you do the math, right? What do we need? We need to multiply that by 200 in order to get a liter. And so basically $8,700 would be a liter of genuine aromatic spikenard. For us, even in the United States, a huge amount of money. Not quite as, because of the market, as much as it would have been for Mary, but still a huge sum. Spikenard comes from a plant in India and China and Nepal. And the way you get the oil is you've got to take the roots of this flower and basically crush them. And there isn't much juice in all of these roots, so you have to uproot all of these flower, and then you've got to crush it down to just get the little drops that you're going to be able to find. So to get a liter out of that would have been unbelievably costly. And yet all of it goes not on Jesus' head as the anointed one, but on His feet. And Judas objected. Why wasn't this sold for the fortune and given to the poor? St. John tells us, editorializing, he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he wanted the money. What Mary was spending on Jesus' feet would be worth about 3 times what he would get from the high priests. 30 silver pieces was worth about 90 days' wages. Mary was wasting, it seems, in the eyes of Judas, 300 days' wages, just in this ostentatious show of love that scandalized Judas. And Jesus said in reply to Judas's objection, "Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You'll always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." three statements. First, that Jesus was going to get buried. Did Judas recognize this? I mean, he seemed surprised when he betrayed Jesus later, that Jesus would actually be sentenced to death. Jesus, in this, was giving Judas another call to conversion, but also prophesying that he himself would die. Second, you'll always have the poor with you. Why? Because it'll give us a chance to be generous. It'll give them a chance to trust in God's providence. But you do not always have me. So often we can take Jesus for granted. We think he'll always be there. We can get to this priority and that priority and all these other things that we would immediately, upon being asked, recognize were less important. But we think we will always have Jesus, so we can get to him later. But we can't get to the email later, or we can't get to whatever other errand we need to do later. Jesus was calling Judas and everybody else to a genuine priority for Jesus, to be grateful that we have him as we do, when we do. How are we supposed to live this week? We're supposed to live it like Mary. First way that we can look at it is the way that she anointed his feet with herself. The aromatic spikenard was just an expression of what was flowing not from the roots of a plant from Asia, but from the very depths of her heart. She loved the Lord. She had taught us earlier how to waste herself on the Lord by sitting at his feet and listening to every word. What a beautiful thing for us this week to sit and behave like Mary, right there at Jesus' feet, anointing him with our time, so that he himself, anointed by the Father, could anoint us with his love. As I've gotten older, I've begun to realize that the most important thing we need to be able to give Jesus is just allowing him to love us in the way that he wishes to, rather than seeking to do everything for him, a la Martha, to just let him love us, let him teach us, let him minister to us, let him heal us, to give him the chance to put ourselves in his presence, to make our life a fiat rather than a faciam. Let it be done to me, however you want, to put ourselves fully at his disposal. This week there'll be temptations to do lots of good things, but only one thing is necessary, and the Lord wants us to choose the better part, which is to allow him to give himself to us. The second way that we are called to anoint Jesus' feet is to follow Jesus' footsteps. Jesus would say later on in this 12th chapter of St. John's Gospel that, "Let him who wishes to serve me follow me, so that where I am, there will my servant as well be." To follow Jesus, tells us a little bit later in the epistles that Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example, so that we might follow in his steps. All of this is so that we can anoint Jesus' feet each step at a time. So this week, we can anoint his feet as he seeks to wash the apostles' feet. We can anoint his feet by following him into the Garden of Gethsemane and giving him at least an hour, fighting off the temptation to sleep or to fatigue in order to give him the best we have, even if it's far less than 300 days' wages. To follow him on the road to Calvary, anointing each holy footstep. To follow him to the cross as his feet are nailed to that wood for our salvation. To insert ourselves in the wounds of his feet as he prepares to have those wounds transfigured in the resurrected body. So second way we anoint Jesus is by pouring ourselves out on his feet as his feet are dynamically moving along the way of our salvation. And the greatest way we prepare for this is here at Mass. It's here that the Anointed One, the light and salvation, the one who establishes justice, comes, the suffering servant who gives everything to serve us. It's here where he does something far greater than what Mary did for him, far more valuable than genuine aromatic spikenard. Is his body and blood that he pours out of love for us. And all he really asks is no resistance, but full cooperation. Today, as we meet him on this road to Calvary, let us pour out the anointing of our love with all we have. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.